So spring is in full swing. As you heard from the forecast, we'll have warm, sunny days across much of the region. It's a perfect time to hold an outdoor party or an indoor party or an indoor party combined with outdoor parties. Medford will have all of that and more in the days ahead. The annual Pear Blossom Festival holds its major events as the week draws to a close. Darcy Self is the Pear Blossom Festival board president, has been for many years, and is our guest once again on the Jefferson Exchange. We joked about the fact we get to visit once a year.
We do. Yeah. Hopefully for many more years to come.
No doubt. So how are things going this year?
Wonderful. It sure helps that the weather has taken a change, because that always makes for a much nicer festival and much easier on the kids and the parents when there's not rain. So we're really looking forward to the good weather for this weekend.
Give us a little history of the Pear Blossom Festival. I guess it dates back to the mid-50s now?
It does. This is our 61st year. It started, first parade was in 1954, and they had 13 entries, and you couldn't have anything motorized, and you could only be bigger than smaller than a St. Bernard. So, and you could have wagons, but you had to be a child, and no adults allowed in the parade at all. It wasn't until 64 that they allowed motorized units, and there were 75 entries in the parade that year. And now we get almost 150 entries, which equates to 5,000 people moving down the parade route. And we have floats made on semis that glide past over 25,000 people in downtown Medford. So it's a much bigger event than when it started out.
So 5,000 people in the parade.
In the parade alone.
And how many people watching the parade?
25,000.
Really? Okay. I've been in the parade long enough to know that when you come down the street and turn, well, the old route anyway, and then turn on
you still
onto,
do,
onto
yep,
Main Street.
Onto okay. Central and East Main. That's right.
Yeah, that's usually the biggest throng of people.
Yes, right there at the corner. And that's always the hardest for the semis to make, too.
I've noticed that as well. Yeah, some of those should be hinged in the middle.
Exactly.
Or something. Right. So when you talk about the size of it, 150 entries, I've always wondered about just the air traffic control that goes into pulling the Pear Blossom Parade together. First of all, do you ever reject anybody? Does anybody just get turned down? Like, you ever say, sorry, we just have too many entries already?
Well, we try to take entries up until the last minute. But, you know, once we do the lineup, it's kind of hard, because the lineup is based on timing, of course, and on length of entry. And, you know, we only have so many streets to line everything up on. And then, two, you know, you can only have a parade for about 2 hours. And then after that, people are tired. They want to go home. You know, the city, we've, you know, taxed them. They've already done the run that morning. And they have to turn around and shift and help with the parade and the city police and public works and all of the people that help us. So you really do have to kind of limit length of entries, number of entries. But we've never really gotten to the point where we've had to say no to a lot of people.
So the Pear Blossom Run, then, since it starts at 7:30, I know you're not directly mm-hmm. connected to that. It's a whole sanctioned event by...
Yes, the YMCA takes care mm-hmm. of the run now, and, of course, too late to enter that. They also have a cutoff date. But they usually have about 4,000 runners for all their different runs that they do.
But this begins to make sense why the parade happens, why the run happens as early as it does, because you're using the same streets as the parade and trying to
right.
make it a seamless sort of transition.
And
the
same personnel, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Really?
And the same barricades. You're just shifting them from street to street. So, yeah, it's a very well orchestrated event.
So within the realm of all the Pear Blossom Festival events, why don't you run down the list and tell us what's already happened and what is yet to come?
Okay. Well, it started actually in the last weekend of March. And on the 29th, we had the junior pageant with the five-year-olds. And we had 35-year-olds. And we chose a king and queen in court. And they'll ride in the parade.
Wait. Let's make sure. 35-year-olds.
35-year-olds.
Not 35-year-olds.
Yeah. Nope. 25 to 35-year-olds is what we usually have every year. And they're so cute. And they just answer questions. What's your favorite food? What's your favorite ice cream, that kind of thing. But it's always fun, because I always tell everyone, once I'm backstage with these little five-year-olds, I always know all the family secrets by the time we're done. But it's a lot of fun. And then that night on the 29th, we have the scholarship pageant, which is the senior high school girl from each high school. And they're vying for a $2,000 scholarship. And this year's winner was from South Medford, Chantel Michalki. And then each princess from each high school gets a $500 scholarship. And then they will ride in the Pear Blossom Parade, of course. And then this past weekend, on Saturday, we had the baby contest. And they usually have over 150 babies, age 5 to 16 months. And they choose a baby bud and baby blossom. And they have other categories as well. Quickest smile, darkest hair, that type of thing. And then coming this weekend is, of course, the granddaddy of them all, the Pear Blossom Festival Parade. But we've added some things this year, and we've kind of lengthened some things just to make it more of a festival type. The street fair is now 2 days, so we have 150 vendors in downtown Medford, including a kids zone and a band, and they will play for the 2 days as well. So Friday and Saturday is the street fair, and that runs from 3 to 10 p.m. on Friday, and it runs from 10 to 5 on Saturday. And we also have the Parafair event, which we added 6 years ago, and that is a wine, beer, and artisan food. And it's in a big white tent in downtown Medford in the Commons. And we have over 40 vendors for people to come in. You can buy a souvenir glass and taste tickets and go in and taste. And then we also have the Smudge Pot Stroll, which we started 4 years ago. And that is where you buy a ticket and you come down, you get a light-up wine glass, and you get and you're arm banded, and you go around to 13 different restaurants tasting wine and appetizers. And actually, when we first started that event, we had to beg people to buy tickets to it, and we could only sell 300. Now they sell out within a week, so it's a very popular event. So it's a lot of fun too.
Darcy Self is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the Pear Blossom Festival board president. The Pear Blossom Festival reaching its zenith this weekend in Medford. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange if you have questions or comments or maybe stories to tell from future, or rather past, Pear Blossoms. Not future. You can tell us what you think will happen, I suppose. But let's talk stories of the past Pear Blossom Festivals. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. Our Rogue Valley local number, 541-552-6782. Our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. The street fair has been at the Commons. Is this the second, third year now?
This is the third year now, yes.
Okay. So moved it out of Alba Park in the heart of downtown Memphis.
Yeah, it was just getting too big.
The definition of downtown is definitely swinging east.
Yeah, it just got too big for that area. So now with the Commons, there's a lot more streets that we can block off. It's easier. It's safer. Makes for a much better event.
There's no actual admission charge to the street fair,
no.
But a lot of the booths will hit you up for something.
Oh, there's 30 food vendors and all kinds of other different vendors, plus the kids zone. So something for everybody and everything.
All right. So given all the food that's out there at the street fair, what makes the Pear Affair different from just wandering around in the street fair?
Well, the Pear Affair is more of your artisan foods, like mocha mud chocolate and, you know, some of the desserts and the wines and the brews and stuff. So it's more of your artisan type rather than your corn dogs and your elephant ears and that type of thing.
All right. So in a different sort of structure. Is it the same? It's also in the Commons.
It's also in the Commons area. Yeah, it's right behind the Kid Time Discovery Center in that parking lot. And it's a big white tent. And so it's all enclosed, and just in case it rains, you'd be covered, but it's not going to. But it's all enclosed, and 40 vendors are set up in there, and you buy a glass and taste tickets and go around and taste.
You already made the rain reference, so let's follow up on that. I mean, the extended forecast looks pretty good.
Yes.
I mean, and what I have noticed from several years ago from setting up parade entries in the Pear Blossom Parade for previous employers, it tends to be either a nice, bright, sunny, warm day when everybody wants to be in shorts and T-shirts, or it can be really chilly and rainy.
And snow.
Snow.
I've been there snow, hail, sleet, rain, all of that. Yes.
So how do the entries deal with this, and how do you, the organizers, deal with it, not knowing, a little further in advance now perhaps, but not necessarily knowing what the day is going to bring you?
You know, we start checking the weather about 10 days prior, and we try to start figuring out then what we're going to do, because obviously when we're marking the streets for the entries to line up, we're using chalk. So we have to shift and do something else with barricades and stuff like that. It makes it a lot harder for us. And then the entries, of course, they're always late coming in because nobody wants to get wet. Nobody wants to sit there in the cold. And when it's rainy, the parade tends to go through really fast. 150 entries can move through in an hour, hour and a half when it's rainy and cold. But when it's sunny and warm, people tend to skip through the parade and walk slow and wave to all their friends. It's just a much slower parade when the weather's sunny.
Well, but that's a nice visiting.
It's wonderful.
How many volunteers and are there any paid staff, first of all?
Well, for the Pear Blossom Festival itself, for the parade, for the junior pageant, for the scholarship pageant, for the baby contest, for the Pear Affair, and for the stroll, there are no paid people at all. We're all volunteers, and it takes between 100 to 150 of us to put on the entire event. We have a core board, of course, but you know, then we have volunteers that come just for that day, but it's around 150 just for those events.
And is there much crossover? I mean, will people who work the Parafair also work the parade?
Absolutely,
for example, really?
Yeah. I shift them, yeah. You might be doing the parade at 6 that morning, but then you're going to be at the Parafair 10 at 1:30 selling glasses and tickets.
Where do the people come from? I mean, what's the usual? Is there a demographic? Are they tend to be retired people, people still working, a mixture?
For our volunteers, mm-hmm. It's a mixture. We have even families that have three generations with the children, the mothers, and the grandmothers. So we have all ages.
You mentioned the generations. I noticed in some of the coverage of the various pageants and baby contests that there's some crossover here. There's some family bloodlines running through some of these pageants.
There is. You see a lot of that. This year's Baby Bud, Baby Blossom, her mother was a Baby Blossom, I believe, in 1989. Mm-hmm. And we have the same thing with the junior pageant this year. The Junior King, his mother was one of our scholarship princesses as well. And you see a lot of that. You see, we have a lot of sisters coming back to be in the scholarship pageant. We have a lot of parents bringing their five-year-olds back that they were in the pageant. So the king, his father was the king when he was five. So that's wonderful to see. I mean, that's community right there.
That really is. It's a lot of continuity from generation to generation. I noticed that some of the historical news about the Pear Blossom Festival indicates that there used to be a tour of pear blossoms, pear orchards.
It's funny you mentioned that because I was thinking about that on the drive down here because it was so beautiful. The sun was shining, just a little bit of fog lifting through the valley. And the pear trees are absolutely beautiful. And yes, Harry and David used to do tours. They used to take buses around to the different orchards and stuff, and you could see the pear blossoms. And there was a tour of Harry and David. But what's happened is people are so busy anymore, and you never could catch the right timing with the pear blossoms and the trees. And they gave that up, I would say, probably about 20 years ago. We finally decided there just wasn't enough people being involved with that.
All right. So it's more about enjoying the fruits of the orchards and vineyards.
It is, exactly.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the lighted wine glasses on the smudge pot stroll.
Yeah, they're called Flashy Blinky. And they're run on batteries, and it's a plastic wine glass so that you're safe out there on the street. You're not going to shatter your wine glass. And you turn it on, and the stem of it actually lights up and blinks. And so you know who's out there on the smudge pot stroll when you see those glasses. So you see 300 people strolling through downtown Medford. That's really something to see, too. And we have bands from the high school that play as people are strolling. So it's really a fun atmosphere.
Do you get a sense, Darcy Self, for what the general attendance is at Pear Blossom Festivals? I mean, is there a general trend one way or the other? I mean,
we have always tried to do not a formal count, of course, because you can't, but you can try to count by block and then do an average. But we've always come up with about 25,000 to 30,000 in the last 10 years. Now, before that, we were at 20,000 to 25,000, so we have increased. And we increased the number of vendors in the pear fair or in the street fair as well. You know, we used to be able to handle 75 to 80, and now, you know, that's doubled.
Really, that many more vendors?
Yes.
Because you're on the commons,
mm-hmm.
now. Oh, that's that strip along Riverside Avenue in Medford. Between, 6th and 4th Street?
Yeah, 6th and 4th, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Central and Riverside.
And so you mentioned a couple of things that have been growing this year, and the hours new. I mean, the street fair you mentioned is 2 days.
Two days, used to only be on Saturdays. For a few years, we tried a Sunday, and that just didn't work at all. But now the Friday and Saturday, it's really popular. It's just a regular party down there on Friday night. And with the weather being nice, it'll be even better.
So obviously you're still thinking about this year. You have a lot of work left before that parade rolls on Saturday morning. Are you thinking about things that might be added, new wrinkles to the Pear Blossom Festival for next year, for years down the road?
You know, we haven't thought about anything new, just growing what we have, growing the Pear Fair, growing the stroll. Obviously, we've already grown the street fair. We just added the Pear Fair and the stroll a few years ago, so probably not going to add until we can get more volunteers anything else at this point, just because you can't tax your volunteers because they'll leave. So you have to be careful of that, too.
Let's talk about the one thing the public probably needs to know the most about for attending the Pear Blossom Festival, which is parking.
Oh, parking.
Downtown Medford,
really?
Parking can be an issue. Yeah,
so can be.
What's your recommendation for where to park and walk in?
The best way is to come down Central and then turn off on one of the side streets, and there's plenty of parking there because anywhere you walk, you're going to have a 2.5-mile parade route. It starts where Court Central and Edwards all comes together at Triangle Park and moves down Central and then turns right onto East Main and goes up up past the courthouse. So anywhere on those side streets that you park, you're only going to have to walk a block or so to get in. So there's plenty of parking on the on all of the side streets. You just have to drive to them and park and bring out your chairs and blankets, but it's not that bad.
All right, but you have to get there. You have to get your parking before the parade closes off.
We close the streets off. Some of the side streets are closed off as early as 10, and then 10:30 is when Central's closed off, and the parade starts at 11.
All right, but the actual the people who are in the parade start lining up at what, about
7:30? Oh, 7:30, yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing how much the weather can change in that time. I found that over the years. Nice and frosty about 7:30 in the morning.
Oh,
but then
yeah.
So sunny.
Cold and then gets sunny, yes.
Right. All right. Lots of stuff coming up with the Pear Blossom Parade. Rolls at what time again on Saturday morning?
11 a.m. is the parade.
Street fair, 3 to 10 on Friday, 10 to 5 on Saturday. Pear fair, what time?
Is the same hours as the street fair.
Mm-hmm. All right. And the Smudge Pot Stroll?
That is running 5 to 9 on Friday night.
All right, all kinds of fun stuff, all found at pearblossomparade.org, is it?
Pearblossomparade.org or 840-PEAR.
840-PEAR.
PEAR is our phone. That's
okay.
Right.
Darcy Self from the Pear Blossom Festival, the board president for many years. Thanks so much for joining us once
Thank
again
you.
On the Jefferson Exchange.